We're going to study the 23rd Psalm, right? And we all know the 23rd Psalm, right? I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, even baby believers know it, and a lot of people have it memorized. And I struggle to begin with, right? One, the Lord gave me two titles. One is Understanding Our Shepherd, and then My Shepherd. And that, because the truth is that the Lord is my shepherd. That's what the psalm says. But we're going to get into that today. Now, David, right, and some of your Bibles will even say that this is a psalm of David, right? Now, David, he knew shepherds. He knew sheep, right? He was a shepherd boy. And that he understood what it meant to care for sheep. And I learned a lot over the last few weeks about caring for sheep. I mean, I've spent some time in my cousin's farms and that, but I'm basically a city kid. And that this passage, when we dig into it, we're going to find it's just absolutely loaded with meaning and symbolism. Now, question for you. Does life sometimes seem like a roller coaster ride? One second you're up, and the next second you're upside down. Right? It's true physically, right? And that, you know, we just in the last few weeks, you know, we know of three cases where people went home to be with the Lord suddenly. 1 minute things are one way, and 5 minutes later they're a different way, right? I know people have issues, financial issues, health issues, and that. But it's also true in a spiritual sense. Right? We all have a spiritual enemy that doesn't like us and wants to hurt us. And he can attack suddenly. Right? Let's face it, the surprise attack is often the one that's most effective. And the devil knows that. And he loves to get at us. So let's start by opening our Bibles to Psalm 23. Oh, I'm dropping everything this morning. Would someone volunteer to read it for us? Here, hang on. Let me give you a microphone.
Are you going to do the NIV?
I'm sorry?
King James or NIV?
NIV, if you have it.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely the goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Jessica asked a good question about translations, and we're going to bounce between a couple different translations. I think many of us, we remember it in the King James. Yeah. Before we get into, let's see. Okay, now I'll save that for later. Okay, let's start with verse 1. All right, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right. I want you to notice the verb is. Right. And forgive me for being a language freak, and that's what happens when you write and publish for 30 years, and that is an what they call an active presence. It means it's something that takes action. The Lord is. He is active, right? It's also present. It's not past. It's not future. It's present. So the Lord is active in my life right now. He is my shepherd right now, right? And it's also personal, right? He's my shepherd, right? And that what Ms. Neely said, was Neely, or who talked this morning about, oh, I'm sorry, it was Florence. I never knew you, right? He's my shepherd. He knows me. He knows me. in that. And now, I'm not denying that passage. What he's saying is that you didn't come to know me.
Right.
You didn't make yourself open to me. You hid yourself from me. And that if I belong to the Lord, he does know me because he's my shepherd. Right. In the Good News version of the Bible, it puts it this way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing in the NIV. In the Good News, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. And there's a difference there. I want a 58 Cadillac convertible, metallic blue, white top, white leather interior. Mary Kay's going, no. Right? Well, the truth is, I don't need it. A lot of times, our wanter is different than our needer. And, you know, let's face it, we're spoiled in this country. Someone take the microphone back to Elijah. We're spoiled in this country, right? I hope I can get the numbers right, because this came from something I shared with the chapel with the high schoolers a few weeks ago. If you had a hot shower today, you've done something that 11 million people on this earth will never have. If you came here in a car, and I think most everybody except Lee and Marlo did because they live across the street. If you came here in a car, you have something that 95% of the people in this world do not have. We've confused our needers from our wanters. And so let's, when we think about the Lord providing for my needs, doesn't necessarily promise to provide all my wants. Elijah?
Something I want to bring to attention to is, you know, there's a moment in Psalms where, and in David's life, where he was practically being chased by the one man he thought he could trust the most, King Saul. Mm-hmm. There were moments where he was practically running for his life. There were probably moments where he went hungry, moments where mm-hmm. he didn't know where to go, moments True. Where he probably faced multiple tireless nights. And yet you hear him say, I lack nothing, is an encouragement because it shows that it's not just like I lack nothing, like I lack things that I want, but it's more of that even though I do walk through hard times or difficulties, I lack nothing because he's with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bring up a very valid point, and that also remind me something. David, you know, you talk about that roller coaster ride. David had the highs, right? A man after my own heart, right? He conquered kingdoms, but he also had the lows. And that Saul chased him for, I think it was 14 or 15 years.
8 years.
I'm sorry?
8 years.
Okay. And that he chased him with the intent to kill him. He was literally trying to kill David, right? David had the falling with Bathsheba, right, which produced an illegitimate son. He killed Bathsheba, murdered, had Bathsheba's wife murdered.
Husband,
what? Well, okay, yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you guys are paying attention.
We're there for you, bro.
I need it. I need all the help I can get. See, I asked the Lord to correct anything I said wrong, and you guys did it. Thank you, Lord. But David, he had the lows too. He knew why he needed a shepherd. That shepherd was personal to him. He knew that shepherd had been with him in the highs and the lows, and that. Right. Where'd the microphone go?
I just wanted to add, as a parent, I was very intentional mm-hmm. with my children to teach them that they couldn't use the word want. They were not allowed to use, that was not in their vocabulary. And I think it's very important. It doesn't really matter what we want, right, in life.
Mm-hmm.
It matters what the Lord wants for us.
I agree, Jessica. I think a lot of time the enemy uses our wants to trap us. Okay, now something I didn't know was, what does a shepherd do? Right? You know, we have a picture, you know, and it's, some of it comes from our Sundays, you know, our children's Sunday school books, you know, the little shepherd boy, and he's just hanging around with the sheep having a good time. No, that's not what a shepherd does. A shepherd, he is necessary for a sheep to survive and to survive well. Right? And I cheated. I used AI to get this list. But here's what it said, right? But it's true. Right? Main tasks include herding and guiding, right? Moving sheep to grazing areas, water sources, or shelters, often using trained dogs or verbal commands. Sheep, if left alone, they will overgraze the pasture until there's nothing left for them to eat. It's up to the shepherd to know to move them from place to place. Right? Well, what does Scripture tell us? Psalm 25, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Lord guides us. He guides us to that good pastor. Well, a shepherd is responsible for feeding and watering, ensuring sheep have access to pasture, supplemental feed, or water, especially in harsh seasons or environments. In seasons where there isn't grass to eat, like winter, the shepherd is responsible for making sure that feed was set aside for those times. Oh, what does the Lord tell us? In Philippians 4:19, and God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord stores up what we need for the time that we need it. A shepherd is responsible for health care, monitoring for illness or injury, administering treatments, vaccinations, or parasite control, and assisting with lambing. Jeremiah 30:17, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Who is our chief medical officer? It's the Lord. Protection. Guarding sheep from predators like wolves or coyotes, often using fencing, dogs, or direct intervention. It's interesting. Lambs, they're prey animals. Right? Not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y. And they are almost defenseless. You know, what would they do? Nibble a coyote? Or a lion that's trying to get them? Almost any animal, right? They're subject to parasites because they're wandering around, not wandering around, but they're in the wild, and there's things like lice. The shepherd needs to protect them from that. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Think of that. God's hand. The hand that can throw stars into the universe. He upholds you and I. Shearing and maintenance. Organizing shearing for wool production and maintaining facilities like pens or barns. Sheep, if left alone, will grow too much fleece. And that makes them subject to lice and other bugs and also to get caught in thorns where they can be trapped, they can't get out, and they literally will die if the shepherd is not there. John 15 says, I am the true vine, Jesus speaking, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Those branches, if left unpruned, will lead us down sinful paths, will lead us away from the Lord. They can, just like the lamb being trapped by his fleece, they can kill us. We need a shepherd. Right? We are like that lamb. We are defenseless. I hate to say it, but we're defenseless. The Bible all over. I didn't even count how many times people are referred to as sheep in the Bible, but it's all over. We're defenseless against the enemy in this world and in the next world. We need a shepherd to do all those things that we were just talking about. So let me ask a question. Who's your shepherd? Well, I hear the Lord is my shepherd, and I want that to be true, but, right, well, I mean, we're reminded that the Lord is the good shepherd. Right, that's what Jesus said in John 10, and we're going to come back to this verse a couple of times today. But are you your shepherd?
No.
Well, okay. The last time you had a big problem, did you try to solve it just by yourself? Right? The last time you had a spiritual issue, the Lord convicted you of some sin in your life, something you needed to change, or something that he wanted you to do. You try to do it under your own power? Or did you turn to the Lord? Who is your shepherd? Right? Now, we trust in the Lord for a variety of reasons, right? There's over 100 names for the Lord, titles, descriptions in the Bible, right? A couple of the big ones, the Creator, our Savior, God the Counselor, God our Provider, and that, you know, Pastor Darren could do multiple weeks on just the names of the Lord. Maybe someday we will. But look at Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Our brain power is nowhere near where the Lord's is. Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's our shepherd. That's our shepherd. Right. So let me ask, well, what happens if I'm my shepherd? Yeah. Yeah, that's putting it in a word. Well, the good words, frustration and failure. And that hell, that's another one. Because I can't save myself. And someone take the microphone back to Elijah. But you only get two turns, Elijah.
I want to also remind you that, you know, when it says what happens if I'm my shepherd, I always think back to, can sheep shear themselves? Can sheep defend themselves? There was a moment in Turkey where there was a flock of about 100 that the shepherd just gave up and let them go their way. When one fell off the cliff, they all fell down with that one sheep. And there were only 10 that survived, all because that all the rest were on the bottom. So when it says, what happens if I'm my shepherd, that's the least thing I ever want to put in my life, that I am my own shepherd.
Well, and it's interesting. Sheep, they will follow in line. Right? And Elijah is exactly right. If the first sheep walks off the cliff, and that the second one will follow, the third, fourth, run down in line until the shepherd stops them. But think about it, right? Has anybody here ever known somebody that invited them to Friday happy hour? Or a party that they shouldn't go to?
Yep.
Or a relationship that they shouldn't have?
Yep.
Sounds like a sheep trying to lead me over the cliff. Proverbs 14:12, right? This is a verse we all know. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If I'm my shepherd, that's where I end up. Against that, who could be a better shepherd? Jesus, I am the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep, which is exactly what Jesus did for us. It's very personal. He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. Yeah. The life of the sheep depends on the shepherd. Our eternity depends on the shepherd. And he is a very, very good shepherd. Right. It says, I will lack nothing. Right? That doesn't mean that there won't be some hard times. Right? We're told in John from Jesus, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Think about this, right? Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. So we can expect trouble in this world. Comes with the territory. Right? But he also tells us that he's overcome the world. Right? So doesn't that mean to me that if I go to him in times of trouble, that he will give me peace? Lesson there? When I'm in time of trouble, go to my shepherd. My shepherd has the solution. Right? Now, sometimes I have a feeling that things aren't going exactly right. And I'm stuck. Doesn't get any better. It might be a good time to ask myself, who is my shepherd? Am I relying on me? Or am I going to the Lord for his solution? Now, sometimes, you know, we ask ourselves, well, why would the Lord allow a lack to be in my life? Come on, God, you're good and gracious and you have everything, cattle on 1,000 hills. Couldn't I have a steak now and then? Well, I think sometimes the lack might be the Lord's way of protecting me. Sometimes it's his way of teaching me. Sometimes the things I think I need but really want would be harmful to me. Think of that Corvette with 750 horsepower. Oh, speeding tickets galore. Sometimes the Lord uses those hard places to teach us what's truly important. If we go to the Lord, he'll change our wander. Okay, 25 minutes and we're still in verse 1. Pastor Darren, we pay you homage. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Right? Wait a second. Why would the Lord make me lie down? Right? Doesn't he want me to be doing things for him? Well, a couple other verses in Psalms, 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Gee, it could be that he wants me to lie down so I can hear from him and recognize him for who he is. He's God. Sometimes I am so busy running that I don't notice, don't pay attention to who God is and what he can do. Psalm 4:8, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Sometimes that lying down is an acknowledgement that God's got my back and my front. Right? It's interesting. All right. Don't you love that picture? I couldn't resist when I saw it. Right? To be at rest, the lamb needs many things. Right? Because the lambs realize that they're vulnerable. Right? He needs to be free from fear of predators. He needs to be free from tension. I'm stuck. I can't find food to eat. He needs to be free from aggravations, frustrations. He needs to be free from hunger. Does that sound like anything that you can relate to? We need to be free from the exact same things.
That little guy's not worried about anything right now.
Our shepherd makes this possible. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." A lot of times, Maggie and I have been doing grief share groups now for a couple of years. And whether it be in grief share or other, I find myself reminding people that the Lord is with them. Exactly, always. Thank you, Leslie. The Lord is with us always. And we need to remember that. 1 Timothy tells us, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, I want to be like that sheep. I want to take a nap this afternoon. But notice what it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." If I want that peace, I need to pursue godliness. That means I need to spend time in the Word, seeking the Lord in His Word, seeking the Lord in prayer. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, the second part of verse 2, it says, "He leads me beside quiet waters." Right. Think about that, right? You can't drink water from Niagara Falls. At least not if you're smart. And if you're dumb, well, that's too late. I mean, pray that you go to heaven. But where do I find water to drink? All right, well, here's what Jeremiah said. "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." A cistern is basically a big pot, something to hold water. But look at what the Lord is saying through the prophet Jeremiah. "Two sins have forsaken me." Have forsaken me. I need to be very cautious not to forsake the Lord. Because he is the spring of living water. Right? What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? "You drink from my well, you will never be thirsty again. You drink from this well, in a few hours you're going to want more water." But he goes in the second part, "have dug their own cisterns." In other words, they have been their own shepherd. And the water doesn't hold. So where do I find water to drink? Return to the Word and return to prayer. It's fascinating. Rest is a spirit-directed activity. And it's true. Isaiah 53:6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is our shepherd. So, am I willing to let the Lord lead me to still waters? Or am I busy trying to figure it all out myself? Verse 3, "He refreshes my soul." We all need refreshment. We all need refreshment, just like King David did. Right, there's times in our life when we need to be made fresh again. It's interesting, the King James has it, "He restoreth my soul." Right, restoreth, that's the old English way of saying restores our soul. Oh, I'm an old car guy. If you restore an old car, you bring it back to the way it was when it was first created. Right? The Lord restores my soul the way he created it before this earth. Jesus does that for us. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Not me. He leads me. I won't find that path by myself. I need him to light the path for me. What does Scripture say? He puts a bright light in our path, showing us the way. He does it for his name's sake. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, think about it, right? When we talk about the name of the Lord, we're talking about his reputation, who he is. Right? He's saying that his reputation is at stake here. The Lord is saying, I put my reputation on the line that I am your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I will lead you beside still waters. I will restore your soul. I will bring you to heaven with me. He stakes his reputation on it. Right. But also, he wants us to share him in the world around us. We're to take him with us wherever we go. He wants a transformed heart in us. He wants us to be a living witness to others. Right? And that's a matter of surrender. That's a matter of surrender. Verse 4. The NIV has it, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. King James, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Have you ever been in a place where you ask yourself, God, where are you? I had a situation like that a number of years ago. I was working in a company with a boss who was a miserable son of a gun. Yeah, that's the politest thing I could possibly call him. Right? And I had some where are you God moments. Right? Well, it's fascinating, right? It talks about the shadow of death. Right? Now, early this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, it was cloudy the whole day. I didn't see the sun all day. This morning it's bright and shining, and you know the sun's out there. Monday or Tuesday, you could look in the sky and you did not see the sun. But you know what? It was still there. Right? The clouds blocked the sun, and we don't see it. Troubles can block the S-O-N, so we don't see him. But because there's clouds doesn't mean that the sun is not there. Right? He tells us he's there. By faith, we know he's there, whether we can see him in the moment or not. Verse 4, I walk through. I walk through. The Lord doesn't always deliver us from the valley of the shadow of death. He walks through it with us. He walks through it with us. He does not leave us alone as we walk through. Now, I was fascinated. Your rod and your staff. Pastor, I'm sorry. Pastor, I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
No, no, it's okay. I just, you know, this is.
You want me to go back?
No, no, no. This is fine. You know, when it says I walk through the valley. You know, and I think you're so very right there. What I find that most Christians want to do or even do is they don't walk through the valley. They run from the valley.
True. Well, we ask to be delivered, and if that doesn't happen, we run from it.
We run from it, yeah. And that stunts our growth and stops the direction that we're supposed to be going, mm-hmm. And it actually makes things 10 times worse.
Yes.
Many times the Lord wants to say, I'm going to see you over to the other side, whereas we're in that boat, we see a storm, it's raining, let's head back, forget
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. Very good point. Thank you. Thank you. I was fascinated by the rod and the staff. Okay. Well, the rod is a stick, a club, in effect, that the shepherd uses to protect the sheep when a lion, a coyote, a dog attacks. Right? It's an offensive weapon that the shepherd uses. The staff is a stick with a hook on it, where when that sheep is heading for the cliff, the shepherd can use it to redirect the sheep. Do you think that we ever need the Lord to use a rod to protect us from the enemy? Yeah. Do you think he ever needs to use a staff to keep me from walking over the cliff? Yeah, you guys know the answer to that one. Okay, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Think of this, right? Jesus invites us over to his house. In the midst of enemy attack, he invites us over for a feast. Right? I'm a guest in the Lord's house. Boy, what better invitation than that? But it says, you anoint my head with oil. Right. Well, in that day, you would anoint the guest of honor with oil. The Lord has not only invited you and me to his house, invited us to this feast. We are the guest of honor. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of overwhelmed. And the key is, didn't do anything to earn it. He gives that to me by grace. Verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. All right. First word, surely. When you're sure of something, you don't have a doubt about it. There's no doubt that this verse is true. I couldn't get by without finding a translation for at least one Hebrew word. And mercy comes down to kindness, mercy. Found it interesting, pity. Right? The Lord has mercy on us. Right? It's interesting. His goodness and mercy follow me. They chase me. He's chasing me with mercy. Think about that. God chasing after me with mercy. Right? And let's face it. Everyone here in this room started life as a sinner. We all need his grace and mercy. The second part of the verse, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right? Do you long to be in the presence of the Lord? I do. I love it when I'm in his presence. Right? Now, David had big times ups and downs. Right? In 1 Samuel 27, it says, David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Sounds like a down day to me. But he also knew what a good shepherd could do. In Psalm 6, he wrote, away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. He went to the shepherd. And he knew who his shepherd was. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So, as I come to the end, I ask a question. Are you living by still waters? Am I living by still waters? And when I have trouble, like David, do I know who my shepherd is? Do I run to him? Have I really accepted the Lord as my shepherd? If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, are you standing in the way sometimes or do you go to him? Do you rely on yourself to be the shepherd? Maybe just the shepherd du jour. If you don't know Jesus, you desperately need that shepherd. Come see Pastor Darren or me after service today. We want to introduce you to a merciful, loving God who wants to lead you beside still waters. It's up to you. Who's your shepherd? Let's close in prayer, and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, you truly are our shepherd, loving us, caring for us, providing for us, keeping us from harm in this world and in eternity. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can call on you, our shepherd. And Lord, we ask that you turn our heads towards you at all times, leaning on you. And now, Lord, I ask that you would bless our time of communion, Lord, and it would be really that we would commune with you in this time. And we thank you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.